Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Live. I am Flesh Wound Dan, joined by Predator Todd. He's back on the inside tonight.
What up? I got to do it before my minutes are up.
That's all right. Pugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up, y'all?
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
Oh, Todd, doing his Oz marathon tonight, trying to stay in character.
Nice numbers.
who caught you this time?
I don't know.
Dan wants to tattoo that on your inner arm, but we can get to. Oh, before we get too far, everybody, say happy birthday to Mr. Kruger. Happy birthday, Kruger.
Happy birthday.
You might get mad at me. I don't care. Happy birthday, motherfucker.
Yeah, thanks. I'm fucking a year older.
All right, Dan, right. Start singing.
No. Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck no.
You're the youngest here. You're good.
I'm just a year fucking older. They're becoming an old fuck like all you guys. So
welcome to
us.
One of us.
We gotta come up with a Flesh Wound birthday song, but we'll have to write one. The next birthday will be, but yeah,
deal.
We'll make it happen.
We can do that.
Yeah, two musicians here, make it happen. There you go. You got. I don't know who's the next birthday with us. Maybe me. I don't know. I mean,
it's you. Okay. Yeah, it's you.
All right.
I'm so there. You go. I'm November.
July.
Ah, okay. You got a ways then.
Well, maybe we'll celebrate baby Jesus's this year.
We can do that Passion of the Christ watch along.
With all four of us. Yes. Friday the 13th. Come on. You've done it before, right. Dan.
Shush.
Yeah, thank you.
He refused to give you the precious commentary last month.
Oh, definitely not. So anyways, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures for all that spicy content. So yeah, anyways, before we get into it tonight, I just want to hype that Todd and Kruger are doing Freddy's Nightmares every Saturday night at midnight. So check that out.
Why at that specific time?
Well, because that's the time it used to air. Well, at least in my market and a lot of markets, it was Saturday late night. So we decided to go with that because we're going to try to do them weekly, and we. So there we go. We'll review two episodes a show.
Yep. Sweet. So yeah.
That's how nerdy we get here. We know fucking days and times, and we'll do the same.
Yeah, and we already have the first two episodes out, so you can watch that now.
Absolutely.
There you go. So check that out, and all our great content once again on Patreon. Hope everybody out there in the chat is doing well. Say hi to Zombie and Rusty. We got you guys in there right now. Nice to see you.
Oh, and also we have the Hillside Strangler dropping on Patreon, that episode.
Yes. Very good Flesh Wound True Crime, where we cover three Hillside Strangler film adaptations. So that's a good time. You want to check that out for sure.
And I'm pretty sure if Rusty's watching, he's probably drunk or high, maybe both.
Right on.
That's my boy, so.
Awesome. That's the only way to watch Flesh Wound Horror Live. All right. So, well, there you go. That's just fog in Kruger's background to set the mood for
Flesh Wound. The fog.
It's all that.
He's a big Carpenter fan.
Man. All that is. Nothing else. All right. So we got a bunch of movies for you guys tonight. So we'll get right into it with our first one, which is a Shudder premiere. And that is Hellbender. And this one is from directors John Adams, Zelda Adams, and Toby Poser. I'll get into that in a minute. But Hellbender follows 16-year-old Izzy, who leads an isolated life on a lonely mountaintop. All she's learned is from her protective mom and the wilderness that swallows them. Questioning her illness and starved for companionship, Izzy sneaks down the mountain where she befriends Brazen Amber. Izzy is in heaven until a cruel drinking game with a live worm unleashes a new kind of hunger. Confused and scared, Izzy appeals to Mom for answers, but Mom's secrets are as old and dark as the bloodline from which they're born, and her grip is tight. Nature can only sleep for so long, though, and when it wakes, it's hungry as hell. All right, so this is a family effort, if ever there was one, because it is directed by real life family, husband, wife, and daughter. I don't think I know of any other movie that has husband, wife, and daughter as co-directors.
What about Taboo?
Well, that did have some family action of a different sort, but not a little different here. Doesn't quite get that.
There's a whole website like dedicated to that shit, but
created a genre.
Yes. Created a genre that's going strong today on the hub. But anyways, this is not that kind of movie. This one kind of gave me Richard Stanley vibes in a way. It's a very kind of weird, abstract film. And I don't know if I can name anything that feels exactly like this. It's its own unique thing, which I really enjoyed quite a bit. And I know this one's also a very personal project. It was inspired by the actress that plays the mom. Finding out that she was her dad was just basically a sperm donor, and she just had the thought, she wondered, what if her dad were Satan? So that kind of inspired this film. Very oddball vibe. Like I said, it's its own unique thing. I can't quite exactly compare it to anything, but definitely very heavy Richard Stanley vibes for me. The actress that played Izzy is kind of in this rock band with her mom, and it's leisurely paced, but I never found this one to be boring. I don't know if that'll be the same case for everybody, and it does bring the gore. There's some pretty surprising special effects moments. Doesn't go too hard with the CG. I thought everything looked pretty good. And it might leave you wanting a little bit more from it, possibly. And I'm kind of curious to get your guys' thoughts on that front. But I really like this one. I think this one is one that I'm still kind of thinking about. I don't want to go as far as to compare it to We Need to Do Something, the Max Booth adaptation from last year, but I do think there's something special about this movie. But Kruger, what did you think? Because I really don't know where you guys are on this one.
Yeah, I wasn't actually really big on this one, but I do understand the appeal. I did really like Izzy and her mom's relationship, and like, you know, their little punk pop band, whatever it was, that along with, you know, the soundtrack had some, you know, nice tracks in there. I did have some pacing issues. Like, there was parts where I felt it kind of drag, and I actually had some issues with some of the CG. I don't even know if you would call it CG, but like the after effects that they would put on like some of the hallucination ritual stuff. I don't know. It looked a little cheap to me. I know this was low budget, but those scenes kind of took me out of the movie, but those scenes also did have a few cool moments. The practical gore that was there was pretty cool. Especially we see it in the trailer, but when the mom just pukes all that blood on her, on Izzy, that was a pretty gross out. Nice moment. The last 40 minutes of the story though, still like it never got exactly where I, you know, wanted it to. And I think the ending left me wanting a bit more. So overall, I mean, it's not a bad movie, but it just wasn't my thing. And, you know, I probably wouldn't ever watch it again, but there's definitely going to be a target audience out there for this. And I can see a lot of people enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a surreal coming of age witch flick, and we certainly have a lot of those, but I did think this stood out as something very different. Familiar setup, but just very unique. How about you, Pug? Where do you stand on this one?
I think I'm between both of you, because like I think it's cool. I think I like the first half more than I like the second half. I really like the mom-daughter relationship with and them being in a band and painting their faces all different colors. That was cool. Mm-hmm. I did like her, the friend she met. That was fun. But past that, I think the leisurely pace didn't do it any good for me. I'm not saying it's not worth watching, because by all means, press play. I'm glad I saw it, but I didn't love it. It sounds like I'm shitting on it, when I do like the movie. I don't love it. Nothing really like stood out to me. As I was pressing play, I'm like, fuck, I really just want to watch Hellbenders. Remember that movie?
Clancy Brown. Yes.
Yes. Fucking vulgar priests. Hail Satan.
That's in 3D too, I believe, right?
Yeah, it is.
Probably. Yeah. I've never seen it in 3D, Todd, but no. I never
used it. The list.
But I would recommend checking it out.
All right. I'm pretty much on par with Pugs now. I think I might be closer to Krueger if I hadn't watched it particularly after one movie we will review later. I think made me like this movie a lot more than
I know exactly what you're fucking talking about. We'll get to that soon.
Will I watch it again? Probably not. Is it worth your time for a one-time watch? I think it is.
Yeah, this is one that I it's still in my head. That's a good with all these movies I watch. That's there's something there. I think
it has
maybe not for everybody, but I'm surprised. Like, this is one I feel like is hard to forget. I haven't watched.
No, it's not
this month. You know,
that second half is what got me, because like I remember the first half perfectly. The second half was like, oh yeah, there was some shit that went down. Didn't remember any of the gore, like, at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, it's not a gore flick per se, but...
You were over there sucking his dick earlier, but I'm like, I didn't leave a stain on me.
That's all right.
Is post Chainsaw 2022. So
yeah, that's true.
Everything else is going to be a little gore after.
Well, yes. Studio 666 brought it too, big time.
That, I know. We'll talk again after Pug sees it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you haven't watched that yet, have you, Bugs?
No, I have not. Sure. I'm fucking up.
Hopefully, digital will be soon. I know Bugs is just busy watching Batman.
Look, I didn't have time when it hit theaters, and then when I do, it's Batman.
So if you notice, there was less tweets.
Sorry.
Dead to the world.
Gotham needed me.
All right, well, let's go ahead and rate this one. I think I'm going to be the highest, and I am a 4 out of 5. I really love this one.
I think Krueger's the highest, but that's a good rating.
It's not good. It's not going to gel for everybody, though, for sure. But
definitely not
Krueger. How about you?
I'm a 2 out of 5, and I probably could have went higher, but it just wasn't my thing. So 2 out of 5.
I am a 3 out of 5.
Okay, I guess I'm between you two. I'm a 2.5. Like I said, it could have been a 2 if it wasn't if it was watched in different orders.
All right. Well, let us know what you think about Hellbender. I do think that it is something that I'm hoping we get some good comments on it, because I do think there's something special about
I'm hoping we don't.
I want it, since we gave a shout out to the Clancy Brown movie, Cliff Booth also name drops Sergio Corbucci's The Hellbenders, great spaghetti western. Check that out as well. So a lot of great films hold the Hellbender name. All right. Moving on to our next film, which is They Live in the Gray. And They Live in the Gray is from the directors Abel and Burley Vang. And in this one, while investigating a child abuse case, a clairvoyant social worker discovers that the family is being tormented by a supernatural entity. In order to save the parents from losing the custody of their child, she must confront her own fears and use her ability to stop the malevolent force. Okay, so they live in the gray. All right, so for I'll start off with this kind of a good, bad scenario for me. I got some good things to say, and I've got some bad things to say. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go with the bad first. This is so weird. It's happening more and more often, but if your movie doesn't need to be a certain length, don't make it a certain length.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm with you.
You were feeling it. Well, and I'm not going to just be shitting on this movie because I do have some good things to say, but God damn, it needed editing. You could have cut 30 minutes out of this movie.
It is a fatty fucking movie.
I think you're being low at 30 minutes, but...
Well, yeah, maybe a little more, but
yeah, you could have tied this up way quicker, and it really made it hard to get. Like, literally, I had to stop and restart this movie like probably three times because I was just like, I would get to the 40-minute mark and I'd be like, "Fuck, I can't do this anymore." So I bow out and then end up rewatching the whole thing where I could have been done with the movie already. And so by the end, where I finally finished it, I was pretty pissed off. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, cut two hours out.
It definitely needed editing. I will say, excellent lead. Michelle Krusik is Claire. Her acting really sells it. And there are moments where I genuinely feel for this woman and some of this, the general situation. The tension just gets, which is there, but it's hurt by these drag on scenes where it's like, oh, okay, here's a ghost.
Then how is it tension?
It's there, but it's blunted. It could be much more if they tightened it up. And again, it's not, they don't go overly CG heavy with ghosts or anything like that.
Maybe they should have.
maybe they should have. It's shot beautifully. It looks great. Acting, all fantastic. It could, I think you guys would have, I don't think it would have been your top 10 for the year, but I think you guys probably would have liked it if they had edited it down. I think there is a good movie there, and it's a shame because
agree to disagree.
I think Dan's right. There's a good movie somewhere in there.
Yeah,
it might be a short.
I shouldn't have to work for it and try to figure that out, though.
I agree.
I could have followed the Claire character because it is set up potentially for more, and I would be down for it. Just, you know, work on that editing next time.
This felt longer to me than I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu.
I can't co-sign that.
That's like an hour longer than this.
You know what? I get why I'd much rather watch that, so never mind.
Deja Vu, though, I mean, that...
That was a chore.
I've watched it twice.
It's not freaking Gettysburg.
Never
man.
Again.
Like, you don't. Yeah. The girl in this one you may recognize from Don't Breathe 2.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, she's the girl in that. I mean, I still feel people will like this if you're into, you know, kind of more dramatic ghost films. I'm really just disappointed because I can't give it that glowing recommendation. I do want to see Michelle Krusik in more, though, because I feel like she's one of these actresses that has a like a May level performance in her. Just again, hopefully in a better cut movie. But I still found myself sympathizing with the characters. There's a little twist. Again, if you tightened it up, I think you would have had a pretty damn solid little movie here. But as it stands, I mean, and I hear you in the chat, like it's gonna be a chore for a lot of people. And I can't recommend it. I'm sorry. And I don't have a whole lot else to say. on this one, except to just say, if it doesn't need to be, and this may not be the last time I'm going to say it on this fucking show, if it doesn't need to be a certain length, don't make it a certain length. Like, I don't think it was, well, it was a strong year, but Host, what was that, like 50 minutes with credits?
56 minutes, I think.
I think it was 65. It broke the hour mark, but with credits, well, it didn't.
Barely. And it told a complete story, and a lot of people really loved that one. So, again, I don't think it matters nowadays. I don't think you have to hit, like, even 90 minutes sometimes is too long for some movies.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre got it right. We were in and out. Fucking, there wasn't an ounce of fat on that movie.
Yeah, hey, look, I will say for that movie, I didn't love it, but it didn't. Yeah, it didn't
waste your time
forever.
Respected our time,
and that's my biggest problem with this. It's like I literally lost 2 hours and 5 minutes of my life to this piece of shit.
Yeah,
my first one word review ever. Whack. Who's next?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You said it, Dan. Like, you know, it's well acted, and from a technical aspect, you know, it looks great. But fucking hell, does the story just drag on and on and on? I mean, it feels like Chinese water torture, and it's just fucking never ending. But yeah, and by the end, you know, I was happy it was over. There were moments that, you know, I guess were kind of cool, but even the scares that we got, it's all shit that we've seen before. I mean, it was nothing like revolutionary or anything like, oh, that's really cool, I've never seen that. It's all stuff in typical ghost movies. That I did like the, you know, scenario of us following a social worker and stuff, but then it just, you know, it just kind of fell back on old ghost stuff that I've seen better, and it doesn't waste as much time as this movie did for me. One thing I really didn't like too was how we kept jumping back and forth with, you know, the main character and what's going on with her. There was a few instances where it kind of confused me. I was like, why is she with her husband right now? Oh, this is showing a flashback scene. It wasn't really conveyed well on screen, I don't think. So yeah, this was a dud. I wouldn't recommend it at all.
There's a few moments that almost flirt with greatness. Like I said, like when a particular ghost on the side of the road, there's this beautiful long shot of Claire in the field with the ghost singing to her. Like, there are moments where I'm like, man, this...
I will argue with greatness. There were moments of stroking film school shots that they got in that looked really cool. But I'm not going to call that greatness. I think that's a stretch. Because if there was anything near greatness, they wouldn't have had this slugging turd that we had to watch.
What about you?
He's cranky on the inside. Damn.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, you're all frozen for me, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh. Well, Todd's frozen, but that's by design.
I still can't. But if you can hear me, They Live in the Gray, not great. I like the drama stuff, but the suspense and horror stuff didn't do it for me. I'm with you guys. I can't recommend it. Not a fan.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and rate it. I'm not very high because I can't go very high, but I am a 2.5.
Average? Jesus.
Yeah, I think there were moments that were pretty strong. But you may not want to sit through it, and I recognize that. But yeah.
Me, I'm a 1.5 out of 5.
I am also a 1.5 out of 5. I believe it's my turn. Yeah. I'm going to leave and come back.
Todd?
The chat says we look good, so it might be you, Pugs.
Yeah, I think it's his. I'm guessing Todd just gave it a big fat fucking zero.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I gave it a 1. No, fuck it. It's getting a 0. It's a piece of shit. Like, I am mad I wasted that much time of my life.
I'm with you, brother. I had to restart it a few times. I wasted even more. because when we had planned the show, it was like a few weeks ago. So I took like, you know, a week off, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to rewatch this whole goddamn thing now. And yeah. Wasn't a good time. So, yeah, you could definitely do better on Shudder. But, D, Dan, you have a solo review now of something that you watched on Shudder, right?
I do. Yes, I have a review for Knocking from director Frida Kemp. And this is actually a Swedish horror film. And after suffering a traumatic incident, Molly moves into a new apartment to begin her path to recovery. But it's not long after her arrival that a series of persistent knocks and screams begin to wake her up at night. Molly's new life begins to unravel as the screams intensify, and no one else in the building believes or is willing to help her.
Sounds like me with my fucking neighbors upstairs.
hopefully it doesn't quite get this intense with the neighbors, but we'll see. So first off, Cecilia Milacco, who plays Molly, another fantastic performance. This kind of is set up with her getting out of this mental hospital or psychiatric facility, and you kind of flash back. It's not entirely clear, but there was obviously a tragedy with her girlfriend. They don't really spell it out, but you know, she's not around. And it's a slow descent into madness kind of flick. It mostly all takes place in the apartment. This movie's only like 78 minutes with credits, so it's a short one. It really has its moments. And I should also say it's based on the Johan Theron novel. If that sounds like kind of a familiar name, I know he's pretty popular. It's very Kafka-esque in terms of its vibes, which usually is a pretty good thing for me. Kind of really reminded me of Robert Altman's Images, for anybody who saw that movie. There's kind of a nice history of women going nuts in apartment movies. All right, so an hour 17 minutes is what I have down for this one. This would have been a really good short. This one doesn't overstay its welcome, I guess, as long as our last film, but there's not a lot here. There's very little storyline progression. Some of you might be okay with that. Like I said, it's a fantastic performance. And there is, if you're patient at the very end, that might, it might salvage it for you, but it's a 20 to 25 minute short. And I think it would have been a great 20 to 25 minute short. And it kills me because it is, again, very, very well made. But there's just not a whole lot there. And it's literally like 30 seconds. Like, make sure you're paying attention towards the end, because it wraps it up pretty quick. And I guess I will say this. I didn't necessarily know that this movie was going to answer any kind of questions at the end. I thought this was going to be really ambiguous. It does, I'd say, pretty much wraps up the story, which I was kind of surprised. Because it's very, again, another surrealistic kind of film where it just needed a little bit more in this case. Yeah, Ben, I don't want to say anything. Ben Grimm just watched Knocking, another slow burn that I felt took too long to get to an unsatisfactory ending. But it did end, though. I guess you could debate that a little bit, but it had an ending. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like a fade to black moment, which
I supposed to give him a pat movie on the back for having an ending, though.
Well, I didn't think it would.
I mean, to be fair, A24 doesn't have endings a lot, so I mean, I guess that's something to be said.
It depends. That's not always true for A24, but
they have a very particular ending.
They do, but
and it doesn't always work, but it does work at times. The problem is it's become like their trope.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll have that argument separate. Don't leave my A24 alone. given fives.
X is one of my most anticipated movies. So
Dan says this, he sucks their balls, but then he doesn't watch any of their TV shows. Not a real fan.
Half fan.
I'm behind on TV. But
okay,
yeah,
name their TV shows, Dan.
I'm way behind. I'm Raised by Wolves right now. That's like what I got.
I didn't say to watch them. I said name the A24 TV shows.
I don't know.
There we go.
I don't know. I don't watch as much TV as I should. I'm working on that though. So yeah, this might be interesting for some people, but again, I'm not going to lie. It would have been a good short. tried to extend it. I didn't hate it though. I just can't go above a 2.5, and that's a shame because it's a quality film, but.
Why is it a shame, Dan? You said that two in a row. I don't get that. It's a shame.
Because there is potential there.
But it failed, so
it's not just a piece of shit with no merit to it. But
it didn't succeed. That perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather watch this than some stuff that I've recently given lower ratings to. So but yeah, it's a one-time watch. You may want to check it out. At least it's short, but it should have been shorter. So that's knocking.
Thank you, Dan, for not making us watch for this. Yeah.
I knew. I was like, there's no fuck. You are all going to have the same opinion of this one. So I was like, yeah. I was like, don't bother. That's why it's a solo. If I thought there was any chance, I'll put it this way. I would be shocked if any of you gave it more than a 1.
Fair enough.
But if you don't believe me, then dive into it.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
All right. So excuse me. I guess we can do our theatrical. We're done the Shudder stuff. So let's do The Cursed from writer-director Sean Ellis. This movie that was completely overshadowed by Texas Chainsaw, unfortunately. Not a lot of hype for this movie. Even I was kind of caught off guard. I was like, oh shit, this is theatrical. And in this one, in rural 19th century France, a mysterious, possibly supernatural menace threatens a small village. John McBride, a pathologist, comes to town to investigate the danger and exorcise some of his own demons in the process. All right, so The Cursed. Kruger, what did you think of The Cursed?
All right, so I'll just start with the stuff that I really liked. Awesome practical effects and gore. It was really well done, this movie. And I did read an article that I guess it had a lot of like CG like overlay on it, and they went back and decided during the screening to get rid of that. And I thought that was a smart decision because some of the stuff looked a lot better than probably having a CGI filter over it. So I appreciated that a lot. And the creature effects were pretty cool. This werewolf that we got was pretty interesting and not your typical werewolf. Had some really cool body horror aspects to him. And
not to stop you, Kruger, but just on that point. So you do consider it a werewolf movie, because I've had a lot of people saying it's not, and it is,
it's not your typical, hairy wolf-like werewolf. Yeah. It's more this grotesque, almost cat-like creature, and it looks really, really fucking cool on screen. It kind of reminded me a little bit of something like you got out of Sleepwalkers, except, obviously more like bear-like, but similar design. And yeah, that was really cool. The story started out really strong too. We got this awesome shot of just, this massacre going on. And it reminded me of the opening of The Church. If you know what I'm talking about, it gave me vibes like that a little bit throughout the movie too. And I was really enjoying myself, like the whole gypsy angle and, the silver teeth was really cool. But then I think towards like the third act, I started to feel it kind of drag. I was kind of just waiting for stuff to happen. I think this movie could have been edited down a little bit. It didn't need to be as long as it was. I kind of felt the length, especially towards the end. And the final act, I mean, I get the ending, but it wasn't really what I was expecting. I would have preferred, you know, I don't know, something maybe a little bit more grand. And just where we went, I was just like, okay, it ended. So overall, I did. There's things I really like about this movie, but I wasn't completely sold. It was definitely worth the movie ticket, though. And I'm glad I got to see it, you know, on the big screen, because I think it should be experienced like that. But if you didn't get the chance to, definitely grab it on digital when it comes out and check it out, because if anything, it's one of the more unique creature features that I've seen lately. But it's not on the level of something like Antlers that, you know, came out recently that I'm just in love with. But it's worth a watch. Maybe a decent double.
Right now.
How about you, Pugs?
I saw Batman.
Next. Oh, never mind. Casualty of the Batman. All right. So I freaking loved The Cursed. I think it's one of the best werewolf movies I've seen in a very long time. It's mean. It's nobody's safe. The atmosphere's there. The acting is fantastic. Kelly Reilly, I love her. I thought she was great as Isabel. From top to bottom, I think there's something for everybody in this movie. It really deserved better. It was kind of just one of those movies that was dumped. I do think it will find its audience over time. I liked it more than Antlers, actually. I did enjoy Antlers, although Antlers didn't make my top 10. I was surprised although that one was hyped like forever. So yeah,
Antlers has a lot more going on in it than a lot of people realize too. Watching like the commentary and all the special features, there's a lot more that I don't think people get the first time watching it. I even like it more watching it the second time. But yeah, this is definitely up there with one of the better creature features we've gotten recently.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best effects work too, because like I said, it isn't, and like you said, it's not that typical like hairy werewolf kind of a thing. And I was just blown away by a couple of the effects moments in this. And I didn't feel like I was watching a modern movie either, which was kind of cool. It hit the mood. It hit just absolutely everything. It was a shame. I mean, I saw this with like two or three other people, I think. And I really hope this one finds its audience. It's better than the last werewolf movie with the sharing the same name, for sure. And
can we play a drinking game every time Dan says it's a shame?
It is a shame.
You want to get fucked up?
But this movie is not a shame.
Every review tonight, it's a shame.
It is a shame. Tonight, that'll be the name of this episode. It's a shame.
One point I wanted to bring up, Todd, if you can bring up Ben Grimm's last comment. The Scarecrow, though, it was a little bit disappointing. I agree. Ben Grimm said the trailer featured the Scarecrow stuff, which is, there is a killer Scarecrow, but it is only in like 15% of the movie. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with that, too. I kind of wanted the Scarecrow to be more of a integral part of the story because it was showcased in the trailer quite a bit. But, yeah, I agree.
Ben, have you, or any of you, have you watched Husk? Husk is a really good Scarecrow.
I need to watch Husk, actually.
After Dark Horror Fest.
Yeah, like Dark, the third
after
one.
Dark original. After Dark Original.
Yeah,
it's like a slasher, right? I think I know about it.
I think it was Melissa and I and Chris.
That was old. That was old show.
We had the director on a couple times. He also did a film called Animal that you might want to check out, Kruger. It was a TV movie, but actually a really good creature.
Oh, yeah. We
sounds familiar.
Wait, you know what? That may have been me, you, and Chris, because, oh, yes, I like the director. He also did
this one?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I like this one a lot.
He had a shoot. I can't remember what the other one is.
The Monkey's Paw.
Yeah, that was really good too.
Was it called Monkey's Paw?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's been a while.
Yeah, Stephen Lang.
All right. Yeah. So, me. It's way better than Howling 4. But it's no Howling 3. I'm just going to say that now. But,
the Mars Bluebills.
Right? No, I did have a good time with this, but I think I'm also in the camp of I was disappointed with the lack of the Scarecrow stuff. Or didn't play in as much, because I was hyped for that. But what I got was cool. I enjoyed it. Not one I'm probably going to visit that often, but
I think I would watch it again, at least just to see if, now that I'm not expecting so much, because I remember when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, holy shit, this looks fucking awesome. I think you and I were talking about it on one of the earlier shows this year, folks. Because it did get that name change, too.
Yeah, that's what confused us, because we were looking, Googling it, like, what the fuck movie was that?
What was the original?
Something Changed for Silver.
Yeah, it reminded me of, like, the 30 Coins that I still need to watch.
30 something, Coins is something, fucking amazing.
Yeah, something with coins or silver.
It's 8 for Silver was the original
there you go.
Title.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that more interesting title. Like I said, we've got a lot of films.
Which title suits it better?
I think A for Silver.
Okay. Yeah.
Cursed is way too generic.
There's so many movies with this title. Yeah, I would be good with A for Silver. And I don't know, maybe they could have been a little more clear, I guess, with what it was. I kind of knew it was a werewolf-esque movie going in.
It's just the trailer showcase. And the trailer just showcased that Scarecrow, I think, a little too much, made our expectations a little too high on that aspect of it.
Yeah, I for me it hit, and I could see this making my list next year, but we'll see where that ends. But yeah, check this one out. It's already, I think it's, the Blu-ray is already up for pre-order, so I don't think you're gonna have to wait too long if you missed it in theaters.
Yeah, I think we're getting it in May or April.
This was gonna have a long theatrical run. I think digital's coming up pretty quick too.
Yeah, so you won't have to wait for long. I think a lot of you will really love it. But Kruger, what say you?
I was tossed up between a 3 and a 3.5, but for now I'm a 3 with room to grow, so 3 out of 5.
I'm just going to jump in because I'm exactly the same. 3 with room to grow.
I'm a 4.5. I absolutely love this one. I think it's just what a ride. All right. So The Cursed, check that out. All right. So I'm going to say, like, just before we get into the next movie, every once in a while, I mean, obviously we review a lot of movies and we watched a ton of movies when you count even the stuff we don't review. I think, Todd, if I'm not mistaken, you brought this one up to me. And you ever just, like, look at something, just the basic synopsis, and when you mentioned it, I was like, son of a bitch. No, this looks so, so generic. But never judge a movie. You never know. So I'm really curious to get in this one. I think we will actually have some spoiler talk on this one at the end. But the movie is Fresh, and it is a Hulu original that just recently, I think March 4th, I think this one went up. And
Dan, real quick, you're welcome, because that's how I feel like every time you pitch a movie.
I pitched some gems, so, and I even did you a solid. I didn't make you watch. I didn't make you watch one this week, so that was nice.
Yeah,
next time I'm just gonna make you watch.
In fairly confident. It has fucking Tommy Lee's Winter Soldier up in there. We're cool.
He's Captain America too.
No, he's Winter Soldier.
Isn't that the same thing?
That's his partner. His friend.
Yeah, there is a movie called Captain America Winter Soldier. So maybe there you go.
It's an espionage movie. You might like that one, Dan. It's up the top tier Marvel movie for me. Up there.
I make no
promise. You like Bond and shit, and I think you'll dig it.
I'm not a big Bond guy.
Oh, then never mind.
My dad's a huge... you may have heard me reference that. My dad's like a Bond fanatic.
Maybe that's why I thought you were.
Yeah, I mean, I like some of the movies.
He was bitching about having to see No Time to Die.
That's the last thing I have to watch.
Long.
I haven't seen it yet.
No, that whole Daniel Craig, he's just whack. He's no Dalton and never will be.
You're killing me because I'm going to watch all of them before. Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
I haven't seen any of Daniel Craig's movies.
Just watching Craig. You're not.
I watched
everything. No, I'm not watching everything.
Before that.
Yeah, you're a maniac, Todd.
Well, I also had a lot of time in quarantine.
Yeah, that's true.
I miss it. Let it be known. Go for it.
That was like your record. It's got to be in Guinness for how many movies you. I watched a shit ton too, but you have to have the record. What was your number that year?
I'd have to go look it up. I can't.
Like new watches too, which is insane.
Oh no! You know what? That was before I could break it down. I'd have to literally go through and count.
It was around 2000.
Yeah, it was some hot, crazy number I could never do again.
So, all right. So, anyways, Fresh. In this one, director Mimi Cave, and in the horrors of the modern dating scene through one young woman's defiant battle to survive her new boyfriend's unusual appetites. So Fresh, one thing that it does that's very, very unique, 33 minutes in until we get the opening credits.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, okay.
That was kind of cool because it's like you feel, I mean, obviously this, you know, it's a horror film. But it is. It's like 33 minutes of like a rom-com, and then it becomes something very, very different.
So I'm guessing Dan was cursing me until that moment.
No, I figured. I mean, I knew obviously it doesn't hide that there is an element of cannibalism. Not really a spoiler, but I knew. But then I was like, this is just probably going to be some really generic.
Yeah, how far was I into it? Like, yeah, we need to. It wasn't.
I won't give away, but that first. So this isn't like when I say cannibal, I don't want to give it away that this is necessarily like some horrific gore fest. And I actually will say I'm fine with that. There is one reveal that I think could have been stronger if they did go a bit more graphic. I'll elaborate more in spoilers, but I'm sure you kind of know what I'm talking about. This one goes hard. This is not just like some, what was that Netflix assassin shit that I watched movie with the
Gunpowder Milkshake.
Oh yeah, that was a piece of crap. I hated that so much. And there's been a lot. There've been a lot like that I've watched.
What's
recently.
The Pierce Brosnan movie that we just saw? That's from Hulu.
The one where he's like getting blown by Jennifer Aniston.
No, the A24 one.
Yeah.
Oh no,
I real fan.
A24. Dan, you're just showing.
We're thinking about another movie.
No, we're not.
It was on Hulu. It's the pregnancy one.
A24. Yeah.
Pregnancy one. Okay. A24?
Yes. With what's her name from
definitely not one of the better A24s then, but
you liked it then.
I don't think I liked that one. If it's what I'm
we all liked it, but I'm like this is.
But
like,
it's not an.
That was a step in the direction that this one I think nailed. But I'm jumping ahead. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So Sebastian Stan, I haven't watched the Tommy Lee stuff yet, but I do think he's really, really good. And when he turns on the crazy, like holy shit, I was like, oh, this guy's really intimidating. I'm kind of curious now to see him as Tommy Lee driving a boat with his dick.
I haven't finished the last episode. I'll do that tomorrow.
So yeah, this one does go hard. It has a sense of humor though too. Kind of really made me think of American Psycho at times. It's hard.
Me too, dude.
Yeah, I kept thinking like shit, if they want to do that again, Sebastian Stan's not a bad choice for a Patrick Bateman. And if you read the book, they really could do it and it'll feel different and stand out. But
Let me throw it out here right now. No one has the balls to do it the way it should be. However, American Psycho is fucking awesome. So
it is. It is. So
real quick, Ileana Glazer was the one I was trying to think of her name, but it was false positive.
There you go. That's the one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of remembering it a little more. I don't have to go back. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan was in something else recently that I fucking hated, but
wasn't that one? He was the doctor in that.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, Kruger, what did you think of Fresh? Cause I loved it. I don't want to give away too much, but, went hard.
No. Yeah. It definitely had some moments that I wasn't expecting. I think one of them you've referenced to, like, there's like a moment that's similar to a moment we get in Skinner, that I was like, oh, that's really, really fucking cool. They're really going all out, all in with this cannibalism thing. I will say the setup is a little bit familiar. You've definitely seen that setup to other movies that play out similar to this. Maybe not necessarily with the angle they go at in this, but, you know, the killer boyfriend, you know, new dating guy, who is he really type of story going on. But yeah, I had a good time. Things escalated really nicely towards the end, and there's some nice gore moments, some good practical effects, and it's a good time. Definitely one to watch with your girlfriend or something like that, because I did, and she really dug it too.
Hey, don't let her get any ideas. I was gonna
just
don't
tell her. Just say it's a rom com and then let it go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I could see this one. Severe, like somebody that's thinking this is going to be a lighter thriller, like really having some issues when it starts.
I just want to see all the tweens like, oh, look, Winter Soldier's in a
movie. Yeah, that's the crowd I'm after. He's doing what?
I have some technology issues with this, and this may just be me.
And well, Dan, you are technically...
I don't know. Like, you might have the same issue with the phone. Not giving anything away, but
we'll save it to spoilers.
I did have an issue with something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
I can't remember what you guys are talking about.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into it.
What about you, Pugs?
Yeah,
man, this movie hit almost all of the right spots for me. The meet cute was fun. I was like, oh, we're in, because like I didn't look anything up. You guys told me to watch this. I'm like, this fucking go. So I had no idea what it was about, even with the name and like the stuff. I had a feeling after a while. I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Before you go too far, can I call your favorite part? Because it's got to be. I think it's Todd's too. Going out on a date with a girl. Her pay for her food and then taking her leftovers from her.
No, first off, I'm gonna tell you this. Pugs messaged me immediately, like, so that's a Dan date.
Yes, I did.
I'm romantic. I pay
you romantic, I'm, your romantic I'm workout.
Complaining the whole time. Is there a fucking language barrier for this fucking thing? I guarantee you've had a date like that, Dan, and I'm not mad at it.
I've never made a girl pay for it.
Even when you knew you weren't going any further.
No, I've always paid.
You got to strengthen up that pimpin' then. Yeah.
But the balls on this dude to say it beforehand is the cash only place.
And then try and get laid after he took her leftovers from her. That guy needs a spinoff movie.
I am in, and if he wants to be turned into fucking ground beef, that's cool too. No, I fucking adored this movie. I like the entire cast. There's only like I have minor gripes that aren't even deal breakers, but I would highly recommend this to anybody who has Hulu. And if you don't have Hulu, go get that fucking free trial and watch this bitch. It needs your eyes. It's worth checking out. I had a great time. And that American Psycho like vibe that was going through my head the whole time. I'm like, if he's going to start dancing to Huey Lewis in the news, it's gonna be fucking badass. So I liked it a lot.
I do want that spinoff though. God,
him and his fucking brother. Especially at the end, like,
whatever you stuck up, bitch.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure any ladies listening to this have had similar dates, but
Dan, do you own the scarf?
Mm-hmm.
I do not own a scarf. I'm not a scarf.
It's not an MJF one.
I don't think any man can pull off a scarf without looking like a douche. I don't know. Unless you live in like Alaska or something. Don't wear a scarf.
Challenge accepted.
we'll have a scarf stream. So it's getting too hot for that out here now anyways, but yeah. So don't wear a scarf.
What kind of scarf are you gonna get, Dan? A wool one?
Jesus. I don't think any scarf. I think any scarf makes you look like a douche. Does anybody wear a scarf in the chat?
You said it's like
just like your hat.
Right.
My hat makes me look
fashion tips from Dan.
I'm not gonna scarf shame, but I'm not a scarf guy. But I understand the practicality. I won't shame you.
Yeah, tag Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter with your scarf pics. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
we don't need scarves in California.
Yeah,
if you're out late night.
And I got dreadlocks. I just fucking, my neck gets cold.
There you go.
Get a pair of legs.
Yeah, there we go.
And I don't want to imply that this is gore-free either, because, I mean, it does hit you with that. But
there are some moments where I was like, oh, they went kind of far here. That's cool. Dude, slabs of fucking, Cannibal Corpse would like this movie.
I did want a reveal, though, to be a little more gruesome of someone. And that was like one moment where I was like, okay, that should have been a little more twisted. Brian Thresh, I have a scarf. Never wear it. That's okay. That's cool. Keep one for the apocalypse, unless it's like
that. Was okay with it a second ago.
I said, if you live in like Alaska, all right, or if you're in Michigan or something, and it gets really cold.
Much.
But that's about it. I'm gonna say you get a pass on being a douche if you're in like Michigan or Alaska. But other than that,
you get in Alaska. Like, there's other cold states, Dan.
Michigan, I have been to Michigan, and Michigan and maybe Buffalo was pretty cold, but Michigan was like next level cold. I was there briefly for winter, and I can't even imagine being able to stay alive in Michigan. It was cold, so I'll give a scarf pass, Todd, if you're in Michigan. We're going to lose like our Michigan.
Wear whatever the fuck you want. Dan clearly does.
Yeah, right. I know. Dan. Awesome. Oh, you know, a scarf's the
one. I have the best fashion sense in the world.
This side of the institution.
It's awesome. So anyways,
Todd, did you give your thoughts?
Yeah, I know you like it, but.
Yeah, I loved it. That's why I was like, okay, I got to. Because, yeah, this was, like, not one we were planning to watch. And I watched it, like, right when it went up at midnight. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Dan watched it pretty much, like, you were, like, a half hour behind me. At one point, I was like, yeah, this is good. Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, this is something, if I would have saw theatrical, I would have loved it. But I know Hulu and the former Fox Searchlight, they've been putting a lot of them on Hulu for exclusive content. I'm not mad at them.
Mm-hmm. More, please.
Yeah.
I know one more coming up at least.
Yeah, just give me that spinoff. But I thought everybody was fantastic in this. It had the humor, but it didn't like overshadow anything. It was a great commentary on Tinder culture, and this is one I think will please just about everybody. Just like you said, expect more of an edge.
The food looked delicious.
Now there you go.
What's up?
Did you go? Yeah. Okay, let's make it sure.
Todd's fighting off those attacks in the shower, so he's
what are you fighting off? They're fighting them off. What are you talking about?
Getting attacked. All right, so let's go ahead and rate it. I can't remember who went first.
Go for it.
Doesn't matter.
Go for it. All right, I'm a 4.5. There are some things to pick at here, but man, I was entertained. I had a blast with this one. I really did. But there's a few things that might bother you a little bit.
Me, I'm a 3.5 out of 5 with some room to grow. I think Steve, like I was tossed up between a 3 and a 3.5, but Steve alone, I think, knocked it up 3.5 out of 5 for me.
That opening, dude, just the leftovers, man. I almost wanted to give it a 5, but
I was talking about Steve, the boyfriend. But
yeah, no, he's cool too. But I still
Steve think slash
I,
Brandon.
I think he stole the show at the beginning. That was
It was a good setup for sure. I'm also a 4.5. There's very minimal keeping me from giving it a 5. I had a fucking ball with this. Todd?
Well, yeah, I'm just going full 5. I did love this one, and yeah, I could give it a 4.5, but in my heart, it's a 5. Yeah. Definitely worth the watch.
Sweet, sweet. All right, so
do we wanna... I'm just going to add this in real quick. I did watch it after that piece of shit Shudder movie. So that's why it's automatic.
That's a good palate cleanser.
This could have been a 3.5 and a good day. I might have got a 5.
All right. Do we want to go into spoilers right away on this one?
Well, no. We got one more movie.
Ted K.
Oh, Ted K. My bad. Okay. I forgot that was main eventing tonight.
We're talking about Fresh.
All right. So, yeah, we'll come back to Fresh for spoilers. But yes, we forgot. True crime main event tonight. All right. So, Ted K from director Tony Stone and part of me here while clearing everything out
story of Ted Kaczynski, the infamous Unabomber, who wants to destroy modern technology to create a world for himself in the Montana wilderness.
There you go, from director Tony Stone. And all right, Charlton Copley as Ted. Pugs, what did you think? Because it felt like he was born to play this role.
He could have been a little more nerdy, but yeah, that dude fucking kills in everything he does, and he did it here too. It's pretty accurate, minus the little more nerdy part, because he would have been a person you want to give like a wedgie or something. Like, I'm not into bullying, but like, there's some people that, you know, and
they're
if you let them, yeah, and if you let them, if you leave them alone, this is what happens. So, that's a mixed message. Don't bully people.
It sounds like you're encouraging it there, Pug.
I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying.
For the right people.
I get it. Yeah. Hey, I would have been Ted's friend. Yeah. In my day. Yeah. All I want to do is make sure.
You know who I am and shove him in the locker.
The dangerous person.
There's a lot less school shootings in my day. Just pointing that out.
That is a fucking balanced argument, sir. anyway. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Very accurate. A little cleaner than I thought, but because he was a dirty fuck. But he was just a punchable dude. Like, but he's a fucking genius. So that's the thing that like kills everybody when they find out like how smart this guy is. Like, he didn't get the Unabomber name from like being a fucking university graduate, and he got it from bombing universities. It's a cool ride if you want a quick, what is it, hour and a half plus knowledge of Ted Kaczynski, the case.
Yeah, using the actual like writings.
That was brilliant. Yeah, I
word for word a lot of it. Like,
yeah, he just read the manifesto. Yeah,
I guess we can consider him like an early male Karen too. He was like complaining about his $5 phone bill overcharge and kind of like the early. Yeah.
I mean, he has Karen tendency. Sure.
I thought this was the Dan origin story.
Before he learns how to build a bus.
I'm not that woodsy. Actually, I wear this hat. I rock.
Yeah. But you've been talking here, about building your bunker and all this other stuff. So
I think bunker life is like looking pretty, yeah. Like,
all right, we'll just start calling you Dan S from now on.
That's fine. When you all are walking around with like three assholes and two heads. Yeah, Dan will be chilling in his bunker, Goodman style.
Hey, all I know is that just
you want to be that guy.
All I know is that gives the ladies.
I'm not
going to
be that guy.
I'm just saying.
But he only had VHS. Like, if you're going to have that, I guess maybe building a bunker, there was not enough money left over. But
you know, rewatch that movie. He was into some freaky shit and not legal, not good. That character's probably worse than Ted Kaczynski, and that dude fucking murdered a shitload.
I'm just talking about the bunker, though.
Like, okay, well, you, I'm gonna get my Goodman on.
He should have had Blu-ray, though. He should have had Blu-ray.
Okay, whatever.
VHS tapes, like, put a little money aside and, you know, start stocking up on the Blu-rays. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But anyways, that apocalypse happened fast. So, yeah, Kruger, go for it.
I wasn't crazy about this movie, but, you know, it was very well made. Acting's great, and, you know, it's on par as far as cinematography when it comes to, like, neon pictures. They did a really good job with that. I did also like, you know, how we saw how hypocritical Ted really is, you know, considering, like, how desperate he is for money. Meanwhile, he thinks like his way of living and his ideology is perfect, and he has to depend on his mother. And, you know, I also thought, like, you know, he hates technology, but he's sitting there listening to music and shit. It's like he's very hypocritical with his ideology, and I thought that was nice to see in it. But I was just, I got kind of bored after the first 40 minutes, and I found myself, you know, like, I thought the acting and everything was great, but I just wasn't that into the story of him. I've never really been really into Ted Kaczynski, but, you know, if you're a fan of him and the subject matter and the true crime stuff, you'll definitely get what you want out of this movie, I think.
Well, Dan's definitely a fan, but if you're interested in the case, too.
It was kind of, it was funny seeing, like, the snow, or not snow, whatever you call it, ATVs, and, like, he was just trying to, like, pull the guy off at one point.
Get off my lawn! It's my land!
I'm actually with Kruger on this one. I kind of like the 40-minute mark, maybe a little bit longer, right around there. I was interested, and I am interested in the case. It's just at a certain point, I was like, I pretty much know all this, and
but it's accurate. Like,
yeah, accurate doesn't always. There's a reason most movies aren't accurate. Most true stories aren't accurate. Most TV based on a true story aren't accurate, because sometimes you need to spice it up a little for entertainment value.
How would you have spiced this one up? Would you have given him like a pet, like chimpanzee or something? Like, if you're gonna just totally like bullshit,
rename him. He's the Vag Bomber.
I probably would have helped if we saw him like go. Well, no, he never even went to the scene. He always mailed the shit out. So no, never mind.
It doesn't make for the most action-packed film.
Can you imagine? I want to quit the chimp out, and he just starts fucking up the ripping the AT. Because hey, you want? I'm solving it for you.
That's not the chimp
ripping off their nut sacks and just like pummeling them to death.
Ted K and Bubbles.
There you go, Ted and Bubbles. You just turn it into like an action comedy.
Dan had to talk about the monkeys, and I forgot my point. So thanks, Dan.
Well, whatever, Todd. I tried to fix it for you, Todd.
They could have just like gave us like the quick cuts, like Shaun of the Dead style, for when he goes and mails the stuff or something. Make it look like some action.
Fights it up.
Yeah.
I like that they just focused on him for the most part. Like, we really don't go to any other characters in the movie. It's just him almost in the entire fucking thing.
See, I like that, and I like that they use his writings, but that kind of limited it for me.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had Clint Eastwood as Ted K doing the monkey gimmick. Right turn, Clyde.
I think Dan would talk about he's going to beat him up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I could. I definitely.
And then I laugh as the one beats him.
You know what? I'm gonna check if fucking Clint Eastwood's on Cameo, because I'm gonna make this shit happen. Don King, where's my fro?
He can cut the Steve Austin promo on me. I can be Kevin Owens, but this one's gonna go different.
He's gonna treat you like he tried to steal his car.
can just come out with the Asian guys from Gran Torino just as backup. It'll be cool. Lumberjack match. There you go. That'll give him a fair
I'm
shot.
I'm just going to no-selling move along.
Be nice.
On this, right?
Yeah,
yes, I did. Did.
Okay. I know. I all right. Anything
let's
else?
Let's read it, then.
Yeah.
Let's go for it. So, yeah, I mean, if you know the case, I don't know that it delivers a lot new, so I can kind of get that. But I think it was really strong. I don't know if it was quite a classic, but I think Chartel, for me, nails it. I'm 3.5. I think this is definitely worth the watch if you're a true crime fan or have any interest in the case. And using, like, the writings word for word, which I believe it they did, I think that's pretty cool. I think it's worth checking out.
I am a 2.5 out of 5.
Right. It would have been a 3.5 if it had a monkey in it.
But. Or Clint Eastwood. I am a 4 out of 5.
I'm also a 2.5. I'm trying to add something to that, but I mean, it was like I don't regret watching it. Like you guys, he nailed Ted Kay. That's the thing. I mean, other than he should have been a little nerdy, but he was like perfectly cast. So it's one of those. Like it's, I wish I liked it more. I'm gonna pull a Dan. Take a shot.
It's a shame.
I wonder how this would play for somebody that knows nothing about the case.
See, that's the thing. I'd much rather watch any of the docs. I don't care if it's a Forensic Files one.
I mean, I didn't really know much.
Yeah, you're the youngest. Yeah, so I figured.
It's
yeah,
not a very exciting story. It was some weirdo dude who mailed bombs. Yeah,
just mailing some bombs to people.
Well, can't it be like any true crime? It was some weirdo dude that killed people.
Well, yeah, angry that's like, genius that's like, who got his fucking panties
that's
in a bunch.
Like making it. That's like making a movie about the guy who mailed out the anthrax. Yay, how exciting. I'm just saying.
What if it had a monkey? Again, there you go.
Dan just likes his monkeys.
Boom.
Be good, pugs.
I think he saw me thinking. You can read my brain.
So anyways, that is Ted Kay. Check it out. he had an interesting mix of films tonight. Curious to get all your guys' thoughts on them. So please weigh in. Got some exciting shows coming up. Our next Wednesday show is starting to take shape. I think we might have some Lovecraftian horror for you on that one, among other things. Maybe even two. Yes. I'm really eager to check that out. What else do we have to plug here? Catch me on Region Free tomorrow. And also, again, check out the Freddy's Nightmares episodes.
Yep, this Saturday,
and
some new stuff on Patreon.
Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures.
Links are all in the description.
There you go. Check that out. And I think that's all I've got. So
spoilers.
Fresh. We got fresh spoilers. Spoiler warning.
I hit the button. It's just like.
Oh, you hit it briefly. Yeah, okay. We might have. So I think pretty much just fresh, but it's like I'm taking your ass. So I was like, oh shit, okay, this is this has some edge to it. My big complaint, Penny, the girl she was talking to, I think she should have been more fucked up when that was like, I mean, again, it's not a matter of a gore thing, but I think she should have been missing more parts. I'm not looking for a gore fest out
of it. He said he keeps it fresh, so that's why like they stay alive. So I don't think he's in there like bruising the fucking meat because that's gonna that's gonna damage his fucking income.
Assuming he keeps you alive as long as possible, at some point you're missing.
But they also show his freezer is stocked, so you don't need that much yet, unless someone like requests, hey, I want fucking give me some penny titty or some shit.
Dude, how about the? Oh, good.
No, I was just saying, there is one big complaint I keep hearing. How did the girl run with no ass?
That was, yeah, there were a few things. Like, again,
Carterized it. He said,
yeah, I know. And here's the thing, even if your ass wasn't carterized, and you're trying to escape from that thing,
fight or
you're
flight,
suck it up and run.
Yeah,
maybe he didn't literally take the whole thing. I don't know how, I don't know medically how that works.
It was just a chunk of the ass.
Yeah. It's all me back there. Like, if she got a badonka donk,
I was, well, he may have had to pull out some ass plants, so.
How about the package deal Steve made though for these cannibals? Like, you get a fucking pair of panties in there, some pictures. I mean, you get a fucking nice deal with that shit.
Yeah, it affords him a luxury life, but he's the man.
I love looking at all the different cannibals too. Like, we had this one guy in like a BDSM dog outfit, fucking eating the meat and just
How does he afford it? Like, how does he afford it? Like, that guy.
He's probably some hedge fund fucker. Yeah.
A lot of those guys are like fucking high class business people.
Yeah. At work, they tell people what to do. And this over here, yeah. I want to be dominated, take all the responsibility away. This is my time to shine. And I also want to eat your ass, literally. So
I did kind of like the little shots of Baphomet we kept getting too, like kind of insinuating maybe this is like, you know, elitist cult fucking cannibal angle.
I was wondering if we were gonna go there, and if they do decide to make a sequel, I would love to have that explored.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be cool. Absolutely.
Did anybody else think the wife was actually in charge for a second?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I thought
they might go that
but
route.
But she was missing her leg, so I thought that was
right before that. And when like at the shower, I was like, oh fuck.
I thought they might really go with I keep forgetting her name, but Noah. I thought they would go with her like at the end taking over, possibly.
Poor man's Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, the way they set her up and everything, now she's got like power. I wonder if this is gonna end with her like selling dudes meat. Although I think it would be harder to market that. Although there's probably some women out there.
They had that conversation in the movie as well.
Yeah, that is true. So I was like, maybe that'll be that feels like a 2022 ending.
I was disappointed that when she finally decided to try the meat, it wasn't her fucking friend Molly. I was waiting for that joke.
You wanted the big boss man Al Snow moment.
Fuck yeah.
You hate him.
That's what's keeping me from giving it a 5. I'm like, ah, that's a big missed opportunity for me, but whatever. Fuck, the movie's fun. I love it.
it was fun.
Yeah, the kill we got with Steve with the shovel too, like his eye all popping out looked really sick. But then watching him get his head bludgeoned in with that shovel was really nice.
Now the phone.
Hold on.
Yeah,
the most real fucking response is that black dude showing up to the house and saying, "Never fucking mind." Dude, I was like, that is like, the realest fucking thing. I haven't seen anything that cool since Chaos. When the guy just like, fuck that, I'm out
of here. Yeah, the phone thing, Dan.
You wouldn't keep it. You would pitch it in the water, I feel. Maybe you'd send one text so somebody doesn't go looking immediately, but I don't know. The fact that he was holding onto that phone was like, and you can track that.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, unless I'm wrong, you can track a phone.
Well, they were complaining about cell service around that area. So maybe he has one of those devices that kills the signal. Like all these fucking...
Weren't they in when you're safe too?
I think when it comes down to it, like, they can still track.
Well, let me just go with this. Here's the problem. It happens in everything. This cell phone's kind of screw up everything. It's just one of those things. Like,
that's why I just don't just pitch it or something. I haven't spent Apex.
It didn't even fucking faze me. It was a plot point at one point too, because when they get called and then she recognizes her friend's case, I roll with it.
Yeah, that's all I am. Because the phone stuff doesn't bother me. Because I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, they could have.
You can't sit everything in like 1989. I'm not going to complain if they did, but you can't go pre-cell phone.
Fair enough.
Ben Grimm brings up a good point. Different providers might have better service in other areas.
This is very true. If you come to my house and you have Sprint, you're assed out. Do we have any spoilers for any other films?
I don't. I don't think so. I don't think we have any real spoilers tonight.
I got nada.
All right, well, I'm trying to get this banner off, so. All right, sorry.
Fresh as the skin.
I know we're not reviewing it, but Pugs, where does the Batman lie for you at least? Like, do you have
pretty fucking high? It's all right. I'll just give it here. No spoilers. It's the most, to me, it's the most Batman story put to screen that we've had. Now it borrows a lot from, pretty much takes from other Batman movies, but I'm not going to complain because I love those too.
I've heard it also takes a lot from the games.
It takes a lot from the look. Yeah. From the Arkham games for sure.
Oh fuck yeah!
Yeah,
back to the detective kind of work.
That is the part I love the most because he is kind of walking the beat, and I don't want to give too much away, but like, it takes Seven, like the city that Seven takes place in, needed a Batman, and we're here now. So I'm here for it. I'm ready.
That's only because RoboCop couldn't show up.
That rules too. You've made me lose my train of thought because now that's all I want to see is fucking RoboCop. I do wish I liked Robert Pattinson's suit more, but like, my favorite suit is Ben Affleck's Batfleck from Dawn of Justice. Like, that's pretty much from the page in live action. So like, this to me is a step back, but I'm also gonna roll with it because Riddler doesn't look like the fucking Riddler, but he's the fucking Zodiac killer in this thing, and that fucking rules. So this movie just hits all the right spots for me. I've only seen it 4 times. I got people that seen it 7, and I'm highly jealous because I want to go see it more. It's fucking cool and great, and I fucking love it. And I can't wait for Kruger till you see it.
Yeah, I need to see it.
It's fucking excellent.
Made me want to watch The Crow, which is the superior movie, but
you're full of caca, sir.
It's not The Crow level. I liked it. I really liked the movie.
No, that's awesome. But like,
it's a comic movie, Dan, not a superhero movie.
And look, I also love The Crow too, but even when I was smaller, I'm like, The Crow's awesome. But have you seen RoboCop? Same story, way better. You said The Crow over RoboCop?
No. I'm saying I don't really lump those two together. I get what
it's the same story, though.
It's the same basic story, dude.
Yeah, but very different tone.
The Batman, highly recommend. And Zoe Kravitz, fucking pretty.
There you go.
Well, we just broke new ground on this show.
I know. I was shocked. I was like, it works for me. But yes, oh my God, and the Penguin. Fuck. Give that guy a fucking... if he's not nominated for Best Supporting Actor next year, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
I mean, you can still kind of...
Barely, dude. He gets lost in there.
He does, yeah. Colin Farrell's fantastic. Lost a lot of years for his drug issues, but Colin Farrell's still the man.
And... Now it's a 3-hour movie. To me, it didn't really feel like 3 hours, but I can. But I'm a fucking like super fan, and I'm easy to please. But like, I can understand like, oh, this could be kind of rough for some. So
it had like two endings too, in a way.
It did the Lord of the Rings thing where it had a bunch, but it also felt like each moment was like the end of a fucking comic book story for me. So like, it kept going like it's a whole graphic novel.
So loved it. I don't think classic, but I did really, really like it too. So
only two endings, that's nowhere near Lord of the Rings.
Wow. Oh, and also for all the Batman nerds out here, if you've gone to that website that at the end, and you haven't gone there like since Monday, go there, answer the fucking riddles. You get a new trailer or a new campaign trailer with the extra thing. And I don't want to give it away, but let's just say, flip a coin, decide if you want to go or not. It's pretty cool.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
sweet,
pretty rad. A lot of Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So,
So it. There's your bonus Batman thoughts.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw the other one up because I'd say I finally finished Bates Motel.
Fuck yeah.
So
hold on. Kruger, you finished that, right?
No, I've never seen it. I've seen like a couple episodes. I wasn't really huge.
I can say what I want to say without spoiling.
Okay. Kruger, I think you need to get past the first season and I think you'll be into it.
Damn, that's a commitment, but
I don't know. I really like the first season, but
I do too, but there's a lot of side stories that they narrow down as we go along.
Yeah, but they most of those play and factor in throughout the whole series.
This is true, but I'm only saying that because our buddy Rob had a problem with the weed stuff.
I get that. It took me. Yeah. I remember when I.
I didn't care. I thought it was fucking awesome the entire time. So,
I really liked it. There is a swerve, and I still don't know if I like that because I'd like to see it play out the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, because, like I said, I want that Bates Motel Psycho 2 season.
Oh.
In like 5 more years. So, but I mean, I don't think it could have ended any other way, but I want to see what that version would have been.
Okay.
So, I mean, I loved it, but like I said, that's the ending, you know, makes me go in 2 different directions.
I'll tell you right now, the very first episode, spoiler alert, there is a Todd scene. And I know for a fact you got super giddy when he kicked your leg open. Because I did.
Vera Farmiga is amazing. Yeah, she doesn't love get her. Yeah, absolutely. Enough credit. And I think, Freddie Highmore. Yeah, I was like, man, I can, like, dead ringer for Anthony Perkins. I can see.
Dude,
yeah.
When he decides to copy fucking, well, they didn't really decide, but when he breaks and he has Norma's mannerisms, I was like, this guy is a fucking, he's genius. It's so good. I like the swerve, Todd. I thought that was pretty cool. Cause like, you know, we were expecting a certain thing and they're like, well, here's that, but this is how we're going to go about it.
It all in there and it's all there. But like I popped hard for, when we hear the last name of the shop owner.
Okay.
You know, and like my mom didn't understand. I was like, her husband.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know.
Yeah, good. I recommend.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're like me and just lagged, check it out.
Yeah.
It's on Peacock.
With commercials.
Yeah,
you're right about that. The fuck?
I know. You can. It's weird because on the free one you can watch it with commercials, and on the premium one you can watch it with commercials.
Yeah. Why am I paying? Well, I'm paying for wrestling, but like I'm paying to not have commercials. The fuck?
Yeah. I that's bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Because I started
bullshit artists.
I started watching on Peacock. Then I was like, okay, going to Vudu.
Yeah. When you told me that, I actually watched the first episode. Or I had it on at least while I was doing something. And I was like, oh, shit. He's not lying. Like, I knew you weren't lying, but I'm like, this is real? Why am I? I'm getting charged premium price. Fuck these ads.
Yeah, is there any statement released on that?
No, it's just.
No, just suck a dick.
See, it's with. Because they're on the free thing, too, that there's.
Well, I understand on the free thing. Like, okay, then you have to watch commercials. But, yeah, right. If you're paying, I don't watch fucking commercials.
And that's how actually YouTube does. You know how YouTube has all those movies you're going to watch with commercials?
Yeah.
If you have YouTube Premium, they don't play the commercials, which makes sense if you're paying. So, yeah, like, I don't think they – like, if you watch, like, the new Saved by the Bell or Joe vs. Carol, those don't have commercials and Premium. That.
Neither does SVU. I watch that religiously.
And is that when a...
No commercials.
No, but I'm saying, is that... That's not like a new one just for Peacock, right?
Oh, like a Peacock original? No. Yeah. Okay. But it's on NBC, and the next day, it's on... the new episode's there.
Okay, maybe the new ones don't do that. Because I know all of the NBC Hulu stuff's going to Peacock as contracts expire. So... God, if they have commercials on those, I'm going to be annoyed because that's why I watch everything on Hulu now.
Fucking add another tier so I can pay to not have that shit.
But anyway, enough about us bitching about like one of the 85 streaming services there. Well, Kruger, what you got any thoughts on Screambox other than Freddy's Nightmares?
I haven't watched anything else on there, but there is something that's coming from the director of Ju-On that I have heard really. I think it's called like the Suicide Forest something. That's one of the titles that Screambox is getting in May, so I'm looking forward to that. At least. But I haven't really looked at much on there. I need to. The only thing I've watched other than Freddy's Nightmares was some awful fucking shitty documentary. Like, it was like a documentary about these guys who killed these two old people, and then the old people's families somehow like had this religious thing, this like religious breakthrough with their parents' killers. So now they're all good now. It's pretty fucking stupid.
Batman would not approve.
Definitely not.
Cue up that score.
Yeah, other than that, I've just been enjoying Raised by Wolves a lot lately.
Yeah, this, me too.
This second season is fucking phenomenal. Todd, you need to give it a second shot because this second season's way different. It's a lot more action-packed.
Yeah, but I think...
Episode 5 and on so far have been fucking incredible. What do you think?
Seasons 1 and 2, I think, are fantastic.
No, but I mean, you think the change, I'll enjoy and like it now.
I think you'll like it more.
It's a way different vibe.
Episode getting, 5.
But yeah. It's not going to be your favorite thing either.
I'll give you this as a sci-fi HBO example. I love Westworld Season 1. Season 2, I'm on. And the rest, I don't really like.
Yeah, Westworld definitely takes a turn. For sure.
We didn't go to Roman land enough, so I'm still mad.
The one thing I'm liking a lot about this Raised by Wolves season is we're diving more into like what's on that fucking planet with these people. We're getting like a lot more creatures and shit like that, which is where the strong points I think of the first season were for me, and now it's just that all the time now.
Dude.
A lot more horror elements thrown in there too.
I want to talk about it, but we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But dude, they're fucking.
Yeah. I know.
Ugh. So well, fucking, you know, cool.
This year, hopefully, the episode doesn't get lost again. Not like Dan's computer not working the day at Halloween.
Yeah, because we did talk about it. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, and I think it was Lovecraft Country, right?
Yeah. Were they separate or did they both get scrapped? I don't even
know. No, I think they were.
It was on the same episode because we were doing an HBO show.
TV Terror Talk, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's one of our lost episodes, but we did talk
about it. We only have two lost episodes.
What's the other one?
The very first episode of.
That Mickey Rooney thing. Yeah. Red Flight of the. Red Baron, Toby McGuire.
Oh, that's right. We'll
have to redo them.
Yeah.
Since it wasn't the first episode of Flesh Wound Juniors, maybe it can be the very first Flesh Wound Juniors commentary.
We still got to do that Howard the Duck show, too. Speaking of Flesh Wound Juniors.
I try to make the kid watch that this week now.
I'm dumb.
The Patreon.
Duck and proud.
All right. So I guess that's it. Thanks for hanging out with us as always, guys. And good night.
Mr.
Damn monkeys.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
And I'll see you in Disneyland.
Did we all freeze, or is it just...